Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Reece Carey rigs up her 200 in style.
Full Sam.
For all your sports news, reviews and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Yes, good morning everybody and welcome to this Monday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Easter 90.7. Monday as well.
Yes, it is Easter Monday and
we don't take breaks.
Yeah, we've decided to turn up for you and give you the daily take on the sporting world from the weekend. Ben Pascuzzi, you're Liam O'Grady. How are we, mate?
Good, very good. Always good to come in on a public holiday when my fiancée is, you know, asleep because she doesn't have to go to work, where she actually gets paid.
It's fantastic, isn't
it? Yes.
Nah, we love coming in here and we love talking about sport. So we're going to kick things off
with a not-so-good Friday clash.
It was a bit disappointing to say the least. So we're starting off with AFL and...
That's a good way to say the S word without actually saying it.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was pretty disappointing. So... For those who don't know what happened, North Melbourne surprisingly defeated St Kilda 13-17, 95 to 5-13, 43. Now, looking at that end of game scorecard, you'd think it'd be an all right game.
Oh.
It was terrible. Let's have a look at the quarter time and the half time scores, Liam. What was the score at quarter time?
Score at quarter time, if I can get it up. Scores at quarter time was 0-6-2-1-2 with defender Jake Carlisle the only goal scorer in the first half.
And then half time it was 2-10 apiece. So at half time, 22 points apiece. And then third quarter was pretty even. North Melbourne only leading by 11 points and then they just kicked away. 7-0 in that final term. And
big Brendan Brown with 6.
Yeah, Benny Brown absolutely dominating there for North Melbourne. But yeah, it was a very, very disappointing match, especially for the Saints, who many have predicted, or even they have penned like top four aspirations, finals aspirations for not only this season and seasons to come. And last week two weeks ago in round one against my boys, Brisbane, they weren't really that convincing. And we were hoping, okay, this week they're going to show us why they are potentially a finals threat, and it did not happen at all against a side who we think will finish bottom of the table.
Well, I did think they'll finish bottom of the table until another team this week kind of changed my mind about who I think might finish last.
Yeah, especially this week.
Oh, But it was a good win for North Melbourne in there.
Oh, you know, fantastic.
They want the Good Friday. They lost last year in a good game against the Doggies. This year they got over the line and absolutely... It was a game. It was definitely a game. The nicest thing you can say about it.
You'd hope it was a game.
Oh.
Yeah, so Benny Brown, as we said, kicked 6 goals, was the best for North Melbourne, along with Higgins and Jacobs, and for the Saints, Webster, Stephen and Armitage. And crowd was 33,966 at Etihad. Would we have liked to see that higher, or is that about right?
Between the two teams, that's fine. Hmm. Between the two teams,
I tend to agree. Also...
The bag's back, though. Ben Brown with 6. Last week, Buddy kicked 8. Cameron kicked 6. Lynch kicked 8 again. Oh, the bag is back. The countdown to Buddy's 100th on as well when we get to the Sydney game.
Yeah, and with that win, North Melbourne move into 5th position on the table. They're the highest placed team to have only one loss so far this season. All right, moving on to another match at Etihad on Saturday. It was Carlton v Gold Coast, and this match was also a bit of a surprise, with many predicting Carlton to get the chocolates, but it wasn't to be. Carlton losing 9-13-67 to Gold Coast 15-11-101.
Yeah. Actually, I've got a stat here about Gold Coast. I've got a few stats actually to tell you about Gold Coast. In the 8 quarters of football they played, in 3 of them they've got 1 goal in total scored against them. So two quarters against North Melbourne, they did not concede a goal. And the first quarter against Carlton, they only conceded 1 goal. So not bad. if you take away the wet weather in Cairns, but not a bad effort. Jared Lyon was an absolute steal. 36 touches, one goal. Got kind of edged out of that Adelaide midfield. Players like Davis Waller again, and it's finally coming back from his leg injury. Tom Lynch, 8 goals, 21 touches. My only issue about Tom Lynch, though, as a player, is that he's very emotionless. Doesn't really show much, you know. Like, good examples when Jonathan Brown kicked a goal for Brisbane back in the mid-2000s, did the, you know, the finger raise, and, you know, he's the king of the jungle. Tom Lynch, unfortunately, does not do that. And that's probably one of the biggest issues for the Gold Coast Suns when it comes to... I would say, I don't think emotion is the biggest issue when it comes to football, but it is truly important. As well for Carlton, they struggled to find the toll because Cruiser was laid out, but Charlie Kerno again kicked the 2 goals, which you expect from him now. Wiedewing was not sighted at all. Liam Jones was well beaten. Levi Casbolt again, played majority ruck, but again failed to deliver. It wasn't really the best game all around for Carlton. Ed Kerno almost got to the 40 touches, but really no one to really brag about in this game for the Carlton Blues.
Yeah, very disappointing performance from Carlton, especially such a positive one last week, in round one against Richmond. They kept with Richmond for 3 quarters, even a bit of the fourth before Richmond kicked away. And for them to lose by this much to Gold Coast, who their start to this season has been incredible. Like, we don't talk too much about pre-season form, but they went undefeated during the pre-season, but. And then obviously now they're undefeated so far to start 2018. But Stuart Drew's just come over there and just completely
brought
a new life, changed their culture up. It's good to see Gold Coast performing well and a lot of positive news coming out from the Gold Coast.
And going to make the Freo Gold Coast game a bit more interesting than it would have been.
Yeah, for sure. All right, another expansion club, GWS. They got their second win in their history at the MCG on the weekend, defeating Collingwood 12-7-79 to 15-5-95.
In front of a crowd of like 2 people.
Yeah.
It was not a big crowd.
Yeah, 30,941 at the MCG. Sounds like a lot, but for the G, no chance. So we'll talk about whether or not they should play these games at Etihad at the MCG or whatnot towards the end of our AFL segments. But back to this match, Collingwood actually played pretty well for this match.
I find it's hard to judge, to be honest, from my point of view, because we know, like we said, GWS failed to play at the MCG. So is it the ground or was it the team they played against? Because they got over Collingwood in the end, and apart from the start of the last quarter, they were pretty much in front of the game for most of it. The biggest story was Tim Broomhead's leg got snapped in half. It was not a pretty break.
Not at all. For those who didn't see it, Broomhead was going to go and soccer the ball through the goals. The ball went through the goals anyway. He missed it. And then his legs just kicked the post and snapped in half. So if you haven't seen it yet, you can just watch at your own accord if you want to. Just beware. It is a bit gruesome to watch. But, yeah, not great in the slightest. Also, another injury. There were plenty of injuries in this match. Scully fractured his ankle. Yes. That one didn't look too good either.
He's already had surgery on it, so it shows how lucky are you to being a football player. Normal people like you and I would have to wait months to get surgery, but
these guys,
because he's a football player,
bang.
You know, who cares about that guy that needs heart surgery? Tom Scully needs his ankle done. But it's just not a good look for Tom Scully, though. But I do believe, they say he could be out for the season, but I think someone like Tom Scully should be back. And I feel like they made a mistake with the Collingwood fixture, because they looked at the next 5 games. They played the MCG against Carlton, then they played the AO against Adelaide. And I was like, that's a weird way to spell the MCG.
Yeah. Since when did A and O come into the Melbourne Cricket Ground?
Yeah, that's really odd. You know, someone might have to help Collingwood out there for travelling. Yeah.
That's really odd. Mm. If you don't get it, we're being sarcastic here. But yeah,
the lack of travel Collingwood does.
Collingwood do absolutely
I went to
travel.
My SNM mates the other day. I'm like, suppose you guys were able to find Perth.
Yeah,
one of those big retirees.
Oh, some bloke. I think it was. I'm not sure if it was a Fremantle or Essendon supporter.
The thing you saw about the guy going to the wrong stadium.
Yeah, he went to Subiaco. What a nuffy. All right.
But it was a good win by the Giants in the end.
Yeah, great performance from Jerry West, and they needed it.
Cogs with the 3 goals. Cogs and Cameron, they were both sensational.
Good to see them performing well.
And they've got a big game against Sydney next week. Imagine going 3-0 for the Giants.
Massive game. I think they had
Brisbane after that as well. And let's face it, the Giants should beat Brisbane.
Well, speaking about Brisbane, we'll talk about them and their loss against Melbourne. Brisbane went down 10-14, 74 to Melbourne's 14-16, 100. But the scoreboard doesn't really do Brisbane the justice because they were down and out pretty much the whole match. But in that final term, they were able to claw their way back, and at one stage, scores were tight midway through that final term. But then, as is the story for, I think, the last season, two seasons, it's been, we fell away and obviously went down by 26 points in the end. And, yeah, it was really a Jesse Hogan show for Melbourne.
Oh, it was.
Bagged five goals. Jeffy Garlett was also phenomenal for them, bagging four. But some good signs from Brisbane. And a little bit of some worrying signs for the D's to allow Brisbane to tie it midway through that final term.
I did like Cameron and Christian. They were good.
Yeah, three goals apiece.
Had a good dynamic duo there. Hasn't had a dynamic duo like that since Fev and Browning played together. Oh, that was sensational for the whole game.
It was great. Fev and Browning.
But it was good. And, yeah, Mel was a worrying sign. They lost in the last second against Geelong. They should have won that game. And they almost got defeated by Brisbane. A better team.
Imagine being a Melbourne supporter in that match. You're just thinking, oh no, not again. They've missed out on finals in the last round of the season. They finished ninth. And then obviously round one last week, Maxi Gawn had a chance to put him in front. He squandered his kick in front. And then of all teams, you're playing Brisbane, you're in front by 30-odd points, and then you let us tie it, and it looks like we're going to win the match. God.
A better team.
God.
No offence. A better team would have won.
If it was a better team won.
A more mature team.
Oh yeah,
would have won that game.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. But speaking of that, someone who's been now compared to Chris Judd, just with a bit more hair, Clayton Oliver. Probably the most underrated out of the young talent. You know, he's won the best first in his second season. Not too shabby for a young kid. 35 touches, 24 handballs, 11 kicks, and 8 tackles. So he's got a lot of pressure as well. He's phenomenal. Probably maybe a future Brownlow medalist, but, you know, we'll wait and see. Melbourne just can't wait to get Giacovani back. The next game, the last game for Saturday, was the first game for Fremantle at the new Optus Stadium. They defeated the Essendon Bombers 16-10, 106 to 14-6, 90. The scoreline doesn't do it justice because Freo pretty much took the foot off the gas in the last 5 minutes or so and Essendon kicked 3 goals. But what I think the game's more disappointing for Essendon than it was good for Fremantle. Essendon, you know, aiming for top four. Freo came off that disappointing game last week. Essendon should have rolled Freo by a good 40 points.
And everyone pretty much predicted Essendon to do so also. So, yeah, very disappointing performance from the Bombers, who have been fancied as a top four team, definitely a top eight team. Fremantle, just to the credit, broke the male curse, home team curse there. It was an interesting light show post-match. What did you make of that?
It would have been good at the ground. Mm. It would have looked great being there. But on TV, kind of...
Yeah.
You know, you're watching interviews and the place celebrating, and it's like, on, off.
Yeah.
So it's very odd. Tavernas set the way, kicking goal in the first 20 seconds of the game. Ended up with 4. He's been on fire. Again, we're talking about Gold Coast in preseason form, but Tavernas has taken his preseason form into regular form, kicking 4 goals. Adam Chira, for his first game, kicked that goal to pretty much seal the game. I remember watching the former pick 5. This is what I thought when I was watching him play. I'm like, what Melbourne club will he go to in 2020 when he gets homesickness?
Good old homesickness.
And Fife got back to his captain best, 29 touches, kicked a goal.
Good to see.
I think he missed on purpose in the last quarter. He had it, you know, directly in front, missed it. And I think there's a reason, because Freo kicked 4 goals in every quarter. He just wanted to keep that going. He didn't want to, you know, make it odd with kicking 5. No, he wanted to keep it a 4. So good on you, Fife, for keeping the maths correct.
And it was a good crowd also at the Optus Stadium. 49,021 people. Happy with that?
I'm extremely happy with that. I'm pretty sure the women got 50,000, but, you know, can't compete.
Yeah. We're going to head back into our AFL round to wrap up, kicking off with the Sunday games again. And there were two surprising results, to say the least. So we'll start off with the Western Bulldogs and West Coast game. Absolute shocker from the Western Bulldogs, losing 9-16-70 to 18, 13, 121.
I'm going to first talk to those delusional Bulldogs fans out there.
Caleb.
Neve. but yes, you got to do, if you say this, talk to a Bulldog supporter at the moment, you get three responses. One, I'm a free supporter, so they'll be like, so how many premierships have you won? And I'll laugh at them because they're not original, they can't come up with new jokes, and they're as boring as their team plays. Two, the ones will be like, well, we won 2016, and if that's your mindset going into this season and watching the first two rounds, you are a fake supporter. Get off your bandwagon, put your fake merchandise off, and go watch the under-10s. But if you're a true doggy supporter, and I'm talking about true, you bleed the red, white, and blue, you'll be disgraced in the performance of the last two rounds. It's been an absolute joke. You're not the 2016 Premiership team anymore. You are the 2018 Wooden Spoon favourites.
Bang. Liam had something to get off his chest this morning, and it is well and truly off. So the Bulldogs, after two rounds, sit dead last on the AFL table. They got absolutely walloped by GWS. It was around 80 points, I believe it was, last week. 80 points. And then this week to West Coast by 51 points.
And they
At Etihad Stadium.
Yes, West Coast won in Melbourne. West Coast won in Melbourne.
Wasn't in Perth. It was here.
We bout their coach as well.
Yeah. Adam Simpson had to attend his daughter. She was at the hospital in Perth. So he wasn't able to coach for the Weagles. But yeah, Jack Darling booting four goals. Liam Ryan continues to surprise. Oh. He booted three goals. The mature age recruit there for the Eagles, and also Venables was able to snag three goals. But yeah, I don't know about the Doggies. It feels like absolutely ages since they won that 2016 flag. It just seems like there's not that bite that there was in that 2016 Premiership team.
They need Wood to do his ACL. There you go. They'll get their spirits up.
They just need they need to be a lot more aggressive and wanting the ball, because it just seems just they're running second fiddle to basically everything.
Jamie Graham was the one who took over Simpson as well as coach.
Yeah, the forwards coach for West Coast.
Good game. But it seems like forever since they won that flag, it's odd.
It's disappointing.
But
nevertheless, we'll move on to the final game of the round.
This was a good one.
This was a great match. This was between Sydney and Port Adelaide. Sydney leading most of it for the first half before Port. An absolute surge in that second half. I think they banged on about seven goals straight, or at one stage, or seven goals to not many from Sydney. The scorecard at the end of the match read 10-11-71 for the Swans to 14-10-94. And the second year in the trot that Port have defeated Sydney at the SCG.
Yes, very good. And they did do it in round one last season, and they failed to beat another top 18 for the rest of the year. The curse is still real, because Sydney, and I'm pretty sure, let me quickly double-check the ladder before I say this stat, Sydney are not in the top eight. So, as far as I'm concerned, that stat of them beating a top eight team is still not, they still have not defeated the top eight team.
Was Sydney in the top eight, though, after round one? I think they were.
They were.
There you go. So, the curse is over. Port were able to defeat a top eight team. I still don't think it's over. But we'll leave that for another day.
Port have the Brisbane. Well, they've got the Brisbane Lions next week, so
yeah, Sydney were fifth last week.
Let's put a cheeky W into that column against the Lions.
Screw you! It will be a win. Are they playing us?
Are they playing Adelaide Oval?
Oh no!
Which Brisbane does not have a good record. Have you won at Adelaide Oval yet?
Probably not.
So I know you won. I think.
I don't think we have. No.
I can't even remember when you last won at Amy Park. Like, this is
Amy Stadium.
Amy Stadium.
Come on, mate. Amy Park's here in Melbourne.
Wrong stadium. But yeah, I can't remember the last time you won there as well. When was the last time Brisbane won?
Hey, settle down. I could ease, I'm not going to drop to that level. I'm mature, and I appreciate our performances so far this season, and I see the positives in them, and I see the signs. But anyway, back to this match.
It was
Lance Franklin kicking four goals. Mind you, there's definitely an April Fool's joke, because I remember seeing, I can't remember what Facebook page, but they said Franklin was out. I actually fell for it.
Oh, mate, don't believe anything you read on the 1st of April.
Yeah, I fell for that. There are a lot of good April Fool's jokes, mind you, by the way. But yeah, I fell for that one. Franklin kicked four goals. Only multiple goal scorer for the Sydney Swans. And then for Port, Marshall was able to snag three with two goals apiece to Boak Wingard and Jared Pollock. So Port, with that win, they move into second place on the table behind GWS.
Gold Coast.
Yeah, and one stage before Port won, it was GWS and Gold Coast.
And one stage before GWS won, Gold Coast were first. And I messaged
absolutely
my mate.
Absolutely outstanding.
I messaged my mate and I go, where is Andy Marr when you need him? Where's the I see it, but I don't believe it?
Somewhere Andrew Dimitro is just laughing. He's just having a little snigger. So, yeah, GWS, Port, Gold Coast, Hawthorn sit in fourth position.
Still
they
to play,
take on
yes.
Geelong today. And then rounding out the top eight reads North Melbourne, Melbourne, Adelaide, and West Coast.
I've got a sneaky feeling some Melbourne supporters like, early in the season, you know, two-round season isn't too bad. Let's call it quits.
That's
already.
It.
Two-round season.
We like it. We like where we are at the moment. We
finish.
Want finals to be played right now. That's it. We are happy.
To finish the top the bottom nine, Sydney are ninth, Sydney in Richmond's position. Geelong's 10th, still to play today. Essendon's 11th. Richmond's 4 down to 12th. Wouldn't have been too much into that. You know, it's a disappointing show against Adelaide. It's going to be big against Hawthorn next week. St Kilda's got Adelaide next week, which is, again...
St Kilda have a tough five matches
yes,
coming
do,
up.
Yes, they do, yes.
So, they could be finishing or seeing the bottom unless the Doggies somehow get a win.
Fremantle's got Gold Coast, in which I said, you know, could Fremantle get onto around two straight wins? And Gold Coast... And Collingwood's got Carlton. Carlton's got Collingwood. And Doggies got Essendon. Do you want to get into the things you liked of the round?
All right, things we liked about the round. Well, I liked Gold Coast's performance against Carlton. I had a great feeling that they were going to perform well. I didn't think they were going to win, but I knew this match was going to be good, and I knew Gold Coast were going to show the improvement that many have predicted and many have seen so far this season. And they very well did that in that dominating performance against the Blues, and it's great to see Gold Coast performing well at this stage of the season.
See, I tend to disagree there. I would have tipped Gold Coast. I'm not going on a tipping competition this year, but I would have tipped Gold Coast because despite their terrible last few years, they've notched up wins at the MCG, countless wins at Etihad, they've won in Domain. So unlike GWS, who's been in the top, they've made the last two prelim finals, Gold Coast have no issue playing away from Metricon. I also like Port Adelaide. I thought I wouldn't read too much, you know, round two, it's hard to read too much into it, but a good win. You know, any win's a good win, and they are remaining undefeated.
Yes, sure. Do you have anything else you
like
from the round?
I've also got Alex Pearce from Fremantle. Has not played, like, two games in two seasons and kept Joe Danaher goalless, so not bad for the defender. What I didn't like is the AFL media. And usually I like to joke and call the AFL media Vic biased because, you know, they kind of are at times. Once again on the weekend, I heard another one about Tom Lynch playing in front of 90,000 people. Dust my head in. But the reason why North Melbourne wanted this Good Friday game and the reason why North Melbourne Doggies got it originally was for the little teams. It was meant to be a good game, a big game for the little guys. So what does AFL media people do, these football experts do? There should be more games in the media. There should be more games on Good Friday, but between bigger teams. Yes, because that's what Collingwood needs. They need another marquee game. Playing Queen's Birthday and Anzac Day, they don't have enough marquee games. No, the reason why, keep it to the little clubs, and that's what it's meant to be for. Good for charity. You know, maybe make it a bit more funner. Like, instead of just going to the game, make it a fun day. Kind of like AFLX in terms of they ramped up the entertainment. Make it fun.
Yeah, because it's very dull.
And I'm not... I've spent most of the season picking on North Melbourne, but I'm seeing that from this case. They deserve a big game, but they just like
St.
Friday
Kilda
night.
Who just let everyone down?
But just like Friday night, they started Friday night footy for it to get taken away and given to the quote unquote big clubs.
Hello. Okay, so I tend to agree.
I'm on
also
fire today.
So yeah, I was very disappointed with that match in general.
The match
was
just
terrible. But I still. I like the idea that I want to keep it like this, as in like North Melbourne, like the smaller Melbourne clubs having the match. But I do agree with the media. I think there should be a second game also on Good Friday. And I think
game, yeah.
It'll definitely have to be an interstate game. And what I wouldn't mind seeing, actually, is some interstate showdowns / derbies / Q clashes actually being played after this match. So what I'd like to see is, say, North Melbourne take on St Kilda, same time at the 4:10 stage, and then at 7:40 or whatever, you either have the Perth derby, between Fremantle and West Coast. Yeah, they've got the Adelaide Showdown between Adelaide, Port Adelaide, the Q Clash, Brisbane, Gold Coast, and then obviously the Sydney Derby between Sydney and GWS. I would like to see that rotated, potentially, unless you want to have a certain state which plays, and then obviously all the other ones are going to have a sook. So that's why I introduced the rotating system. So I'd like to see that being played afterwards, because it is a big day, Good Friday, and I feel just by having one match
and
at a 4 o'clock time, it's just a bit weird. So
like,
I'd
Easter
like to
Monday
see too.
Got massive, and that was what I liked about Easter Monday. It was a natural progression. It wasn't Hawthorn Geelong weren't always dated. It wasn't. It was they played. They went well. They played next year. Went well. Kind of like the Richmond Carlton game to start the season.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't like Essendon and St Kilda. I thought they were both abysmal.
Yeah, Essendon. And yeah, obviously the Saints. Not too good at all. So, today's match, Geelong and Hawthorn.
Oh,
I'm going to this match.
It's going to be packed.
Yeah, hopefully I get a seat
and
in general ad.
The youth of you has outdone me with the naming of the trio from Geelong. I went Gary Dangerwood. I might actually post this on Twitter, see which one's better, but I do prefer yours. Gary Dangerwood, you went
Dangerwood Let,
which I think...
I think I read that somewhere. It was like someone in the AFL meeting. I just loved it straight away. Just Dangerwood Let. So much better. But yeah, predictions for today's big match.
Ooh, it's tough. Surprisingly, a lot of people still haven't tipped Geelong on their top to win the flag. But I think they're, apart from Richmond, they're the only credible Victorian team. But I think maybe the Hawks just...
How many points?
I'm thinking hopefully it's a close game. I'm thinking 10 points.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Geelong by 16. We're going to get stuck into some basketball. But before we get into the NBA, we'll head to our own shores, the NBL. And Game 5 of the NBL Grand Final Series took place on Saturday night between Melbourne United and the Adelaide 36ers. And it was our boys, Melbourne United, getting the win there and winning the Grand Final series. They won 100-82 in front of a packed-out Hisense Arena, attendance of 10,300.
Not bad. What a win. Hopefully, it wasn't the fact that we played at home. We won the championship, considering we'll go through all five games. Good it went to five games, though. First game played at Hisense. Melbourne won 107-96. Second game playing Adelaide. Adelaide won 110-95. Third game back in Melbourne, 101-98. Back to Adelaide, 90-81. And back to Melbourne, 100-82. Good win, though. First title under the United banner. Finally ending the Wildcats Breakers curse that's been going on for a while. I'm surprised one of them didn't swoop in at the end, just claim the title. But Chris Golding won the MVP of the finals.
Yeah, he had a fantastic game. Series.
Fans are chanting MVP during the last few minutes. But it was a good win. It was a good final series. Going to five games. Like I said, NBL, I think, is hot, red hot at the moment. Maybe the success of the Australians over in America, but still, people are now more tuned into NBL than ever. Especially wait till next year when America comes and plays at Etihad Stadium. That's going to be absolutely jam-packed.
I think what also helps, particularly from a Melbourne and Victorian stance, is that Melbourne United actually did well.
Yes.
So, like, last season, I feel like the NBL was still, like, it was... I actually reckon the NBL was on the same stance last season as it is this season. Like, there have been improvements, obviously, in crowd numbers and all that, but it's been fairly similar. But especially for Victorians, we need to have a successful team, and it's good to see Melbourne United producing, finally... in their, I believe it's their third or their fourth season as being called the Melbourne United rather than the Tigers.
Still don't like the name, though.
No, not that good of a name at all. But a couple of facts the season and the Grand Final Series. So we'll start off with the Grand Final Series. This was actually the highest ever attended. It was watched by 44,260 fans, breaking the previous record of 43,605, which was set back all the way in 1992. The NBL also attracted a total of 762,871 fans this season, which was a 5% increase on 2016-17. The average crowd at games was 6,305, which is the highest in NBL history. following a 14% increase in total attendances in the previous 2016-17 season. So, numbers all round, attendances all round, has been an improvement in the NBL and has been the highest in history.
Like I said, the NBL's back. The NBL's big. Will they become a bigger sport than it is now? Probably not. But, you know, if we can get the talent up and compete in the Olympics and the World Cup or the World Championship and become a big basketball nation, how good would that be for Australia?
Oh, it'd be fantastic, but...
It's a sport we're missing because we've got a lot of ball sports. Apart from cricket, soccer, rugby, rugby union, AFL, they're all...
Basketball's still a huge following. It's just that it's the NBA. And that's going to be the hardest thing for the NBL to compete with because we've got a lot more access to watching games in the NBA. So, per se, your 1990s, when the NBL was at its peak, the access to watching NBA games was very slim. Nowadays, we can purchase League Pass and we can watch every single game. And that's probably why the NBL will never be like... I personally don't think it will be like one of the Premier Leagues in this country, unfortunately, purely because of that. We've got the access and the love for the best players in the world, which is the NBA, and
which
we can watch it.
Which is also why I'm not a big fan of Australian NBA fans, because are they fans or are they followers?
Australian NBA fans.
Yes. Are they fans or are they followers? The same people wearing number six for Cleveland are the same people wearing 23
for Cleveland.
Sorry, six for Miami are the same people wearing number 23 for Cleveland.
Yeah, you get a lot of those followers.
Most of them are those followers. Yeah. And I've had an issue. This is something I've had an issue with for years.
Mm.
But I'm a grumpy old man, so kind of. I've had two rants there. I'm not having a third.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about some NBA. Yeah. First game this morning, Philadelphia defeated the Charlotte Hornets, and that is a 10-game winning streak for the 76ers.
How good is the Aussie himself, Ben Simmons? 20 points, 15 assists, and 8 rebounds. Kind of shy of the triple-double, unfortunately, but he is good.
He is on fire, to say the least, Ben Simmons. Unfortunately for the 76ers, Joel Embiid, there was a collision with Markel Fultz 2 games ago. He's got an eye injury. He's out for 2 weeks, but he will be back for playoffs. And speaking of Markel Fultz, he's back for the 76ers. He did really well in his first match, scoring 10 points, and then sort of wavered in the second two, scoring 3, and then 4 in this match. But he's looked good, which is great, and his shot looks to be having his normal shooting motion, because before was very stagnated with that shoulder injury.
The Houston Rockets, who just clinched top spot in the West, 11-game winning streaks come to an end with a 100-83 loss to the Spurs.
Yeah, and the Spurs have been on fire of recent times. They currently sit in 4th in the Western Conference stand. This is, mind you, after I believe it was maybe 2 weeks ago they were sitting in 9th, and we're talking about, are they going to make the playoffs or not? But, yep, they have come back with a bang. And they are sitting currently in 4th in the Western Conference standings.
And there's really not much to read into the Golden State Warriors. They're pretty much missing their entire team. So they're losing streak or failing to win. Really not much to read. I still think they'll be there at the business end of this, the playoffs. Race to first for the East, if I'm heating up with Celtics defeating Toronto yesterday. There's only now a 2-game difference. So things are heating up as well. Pacers, Philly, and the Cavaliers are all fighting for third spot in the East. So it's heating up. The NBA is red hot.
Speaking about that, the Cavs, at the end of the third quarter, they trail the Dallas Mavericks 77-73. And for those that don't know, Dallas sit 13th in the Western Conference. They're supposed to be tanking, but they are defeating the third-seeded Cleveland in the East. So hopefully for Philly, they lose, which means if we go on an 11-game winning streak and win our next match, we leapfrog the Cavs and we go into the third seed. So we take on, and you'd think we would win, because we take on the Nets, and the Cavs actually take on Toronto. Who do Indiana, they take on the Nuggets, so you'd think that'll be a good match, actually, Denver. Denver are doing really well at the moment. God, it's really tight between those three teams. Only, like you said, they're all on the same amount of wins. depending on whether Cleveland will not win today, they'll go a game clear.
And Pacers have an extra game. Oh, Pacers and Cleveland will have an extra game compared to Philly.
No, Pacers are only one game ahead. They are one game ahead of Philly.
Yes, I meant.
Same with Cleveland. So yeah. Philly's one game behind.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Is that
yes.
what you mean?
Yes.
Lol, you said completely different.
Lol.
And it is a Monday
Lol.
Morning.
Lol. Waffle.
Lol. You can tell my age
Waffle.
There, how young I am. Lol. All right.
See, I'm an adult laughing out loud.
Lots of love.
That too.
You stuffed it. You're supposed to say lots of love. That's what all the adults think it is.
But I'm not that old. Head up with this.
Right.
I'm old enough
rounding
not to
at,
dab, but not to pick on people who dab.
Rounding out the Eastern Conference, in 6th, 7th, and 8th, it reads Washington, Milwaukee, and Miami. For the Western Conference, obviously Houston and Gold Coast have locked up the top two positions, with Houston obviously locking up the top seed.
Hey, Ben.
What?
You mean Western. You said Western for Eastern, and they're doing...
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Made a bit of a kerfuffle there, mate.
Did I make a kerfuffle?
Oh.
I didn't even realise.
Maybe you should get off your technology and get off your phone and start reading, mate.
I am reading.
Back in my day.
Back in my day. Hey, I do read.
But right. Continue, Benjamin.
I'm going to listen back to that. I can't even remember if I said that. All right, Houston, in the Western Conference for you, Liam, they've locked up the top two, whatever. Portland are in third, San Antonio in fourth, and then the bottom four are Minnesota, Oklahoma, Utah, and New Orleans for the Western Conference. So, still very tight in both conferences. You feel that Milwaukee and Miami will finish in the Eastern Conference Finals. Detroit are five games behind them. And then in the West, you still got Denver and LA who are only two games behind New Orleans and Utah. So, could very, very well go down to the final games to decide a playoffs berth.
And that's what you want to see.
That is all you want to see.
We'll go to a song and we'll come back. We'll talk a bit about cricket in a bit of a positive light. And we'll do our quick wrap up on the sport on the weekend.
Gotta love the cricket. I'm going to get the song coming up because I was a bit delayed here. Thanks, Liam. All right, here we go.
Oh, you're welcome.
Liam's pointed me out behind here in the studio. We've got, 58 words you can use other than banger, because I described our last song as a banger.
This song.
What was this song?
Is an absolute spicy carrot. I don't know if you agree, Ben, but it is the spiciest of carrots.
I'm thinking here. I'm going to go with that was an absolute juice bringer. I don't know. we'll get more adjectives and whatever. All right, so cricket. This is our wrap up. We're going to get stuck into some cricket, and because there was actually a game played, the game is going on between South Africa and Australia. So,
still cricket on.
It's good. So, at the moment, South Africa, they hold a 401 run lead over the Australians. In the first innings, they posted 488 with an Aiden Markram ton. Leading away for the Proteas batsman. He scored 152 runs off 216 balls. Also, a very handy knock from Themba Bavuma, who scored 95 not out. Also, for the Australians, Pat Cummins. He loves this ground, and he took Pfeiffer in the first innings. For the Australians, it was very disappointing, to say the least. The replacements for the infamous ball tampering three, Matthew Renshaw, Joe Burns and Peter Hanscom put on a combined 12 between the three of them. Pete Hanscom, the way he went out was very unfortunate. He's gone to leave a ball from Vernon Philander and he was a bit of an indecision and the ball's hit the bat on the way, chopped onto the stumps as he went to leave it. So not too good from Pete Hanscom. Tim Payne led the way for the Australians. He scored 62. And mind you, he also produced that innings through a thumb injury. I think he's got a slight hairline fracture in his thumb. It happened when he was keeping up to the stumps to Chad Sayers. He dropped a catch, but hit him in the thumb.
Well, should not have dropped the catch. That's
of course
fault.
He shouldn't have dropped the catch. But
should
yeah.
have, maybe used some sandpaper. Might have helped him.
Sandpaper definitely would have helped him there. Three wickets to each of Maharaj, Rabada and Philander were for the first innings in that match. And then in the second innings, South Africa are currently 3 for 134. Dean Alga and Faf du Plessis at the crease at the moment.
And Cummings is their best player by far.
Easily.
Got a half century batting, got 5 in the first innings, 2 so far. Like you said, could be the captain, but we might talk about that a bit more on Wednesday. More in depth.
And I'll be there on Wednesday.
Oh, yay.
I can't wait to come
just
back.
Just don't hear back on some of the stuff I've said about you in previous shows, you know.
Oh.
I've called you short and...
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
A human meatball.
Because I can't listen. Aye. Human meatball, that's funny, because my cricket captain called me a meatball. That's funny. He actually said it, yeah, human meatball. I actually rate that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, geez, I might actually say that now.
Do it. Say it. I do not mind at all.
Sweet. Let's go to the quick wrap-up. And A-League, which Ben is so excited still. He wants more A-League.
You too. You
more
love
A-League.
It. Oh. I don't think A-League is played enough during the season. I think it should be played during the footy season, in
yes.
fact.
Oh, yeah, all year round. Instead of having Grand Final Eve, it should be A-League Eve all the time.
Well, anyway,
every day,
it's too long. They're trying to make it like an EPL. It's not going to happen here in Australia. I'm sorry, but yeah, it's too long. Anyway.
Melbourne City won 3-0 over Newcastle yesterday. And Melbourne Victory won 3-1 over Western Sydney Wanderers. Sydney FC took out back-to-back championship plates.
Did
and
they?
That's as excited that I can be about the A-League at the moment. People kick goals. A team won, a team lost, and there was probably a draw in between.
Fantastic stuff.
And
Melbourne
I made
Storm.
A mistake. I did make a mistake.
Did you?
On the NRL website, it has the two, you know, you usually read top to bottom. It has Doggies in front of the top of Storm with Cronulla next to it. So I was right originally. So Sharks did defeat the Storm 14-4. Even though I had in our run sheet, the Doggies defeated Storm 16-4.
Yeah, and you had the score wrong as well. Mate, what is wrong with you? I'm not going to leave you responsible from now on for the run sheet. I think I may as well just do it.
Our producer's going to do the run sheet? No.
Hey.
No.
Hey.
What
you
time,
wanted to do it.
What time did I do the run
you
sheet?
You want to do it.
Like
I do the Friday show.
The
I started the Monday show for, what, the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Then you wanted to do it. You want to do the Wednesday show. You want to do it. Okay? You got to get it right. So I'm going to take some more responsibility now, and I'll do
I'm
it.
I'm grounded. No run
You're
sheet
grounded.
For 2 weeks.
That's it. No run. I've got to punish you. I've got to punish you where it hurts, Liam. So, yeah, Melbourne Storm unfortunately yes. went down 14-4 to the Sharkies. And this match was hampered by a lot of refereeing penalties awarded to either team.
The whole season's been... That's been the NRL
yeah, that's
season
been the,
pretty
that's
much.
That's been the chat for the NRL season. But anyway, Storm, they sit in fifth on the table at this stage of the season. The Dragons are still
undefeated.
They defeated the Newcastle Knights 30-12.
And get around the Warriors as well.
Warriors are also undefeated. 4 from 4.
And
they defeated
upset.
They this was a huge upset. They defeated the Sydney Roosters, the absolutely stacked and loaded Sydney Roosters lineup. They defeated them 30-6 at Allianz Stadium.
Absolutely smashed.
For those that don't know, Allianz Stadium is not in New Zealand. It is in Sydney. And they defeated them 30-6 to socks. 30 to socks.
Yes, for our New Zealand audience there. And another surprise in the rugby as well. Wooden Spoon favourites, the Gold Coast Titans, got over the premiership favourites, the Brisbane Broncos, 26-14 at Suncorp Stadium. And for yous that don't know, Suncorp is not in Gold Coast.
No, that's bad. That's really bad. You see, mine was relatable because they're two different countries. Gold Coast and Brisbane are in the same state.
They are?
God. For those that don't know, Gold Coast and Brisbane are in the state of Queensland, which is in the country Australia, which is in the continent Australasia, also in Asia, which is in Earth, which is in the Milky Way. We could go on forever for this, Liam. Anyway, what else do we have here in the wrap-up? We've got the Rebels. They scored a 19-50 loss to the Hurricanes. That is their second loss.
God, when they lose,
the
they
season.
Lose big.
Mate. If you're going to lose, you may as well just put the towel on the rack.
That
That's
is
it.
True. Go all out.
Done.
Go all out with the loss. And is that all we have time for today?
Is it, Liam?
I think so, unless you put another sport there.
I think that is pretty much it. I'm just going to have a quick look at the Miami Open because I know the final was played today. And here we go. There was a bit of a surprise. Alexander Zverev, the number 4 seed, he lost to John Isner, however you want to say it. John Isner winning 6-7, 6-4, 6-4 in a 3-set match for the Miami Open.
And Ben, just to correct you here, it's
yep.
it's Commonwealth of Australia, not Australia. So Gold Coast and Brisbane are in Queensland, which are a state in the Commonwealth of Australia.
You're
so,
done.
FYI.
You're done, mate. That wraps up this Monday edition of the Sports Pack. We will be back.
It's going to be great to have you on Wednesday. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yes, we will be back.
The banter will continue.
Yes, we will be back on Wednesday with Caleb Scanlon, and we'll be no doubt giving it to him about the very, very disappointing start to the season from the Western Bulldogs. But do tune into the show on Omni, Facebook, Twitter.
We should make a thing here. How long do you think it'll take until he tells me that Freo hasn't won a flag?
I'm going to say that'll
say first
be
5 minutes.
No, we'll get stuck into him. I reckon it'll be the second thing that comes out of his mouth.
Second thing?
Like, as in, like, okay. Second sentence and all that. He will say it.
Okay, sweet.
Like, he will get mad, and then he'll be like, oh, but you haven't won the premiership.
Cool.
So he'll
That's
do something
awesome.
Like that.
Sweet. We'll
all right, so
that.
Us three, we will be on the show on Wednesday, 9 to 10, so do tune in. And obviously, Liam will be posting today's show on Omni. So thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed listening to us, and we'll be back on Wednesday.